depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Ploski krog brazilske korupcije. Leta 1954 je v brazilski palači zadonil strel. Predsednik Getulio Vargas je ob neukrotljivem stopnjevanju nestabilnega državnega stanja in razkritju lastne vpletenosti v korupcijski škandal pognal metek skozi srce. Vargas, ki velja za enega pomembnejših brazilskih predsednikov, je med drugim s pomočjo svoje politične propagande Olje je naše nacionaliziral brazilsko nafto in ustanovil državno podjetje Petrobras, ki se v zadnjih mesecih razkriva kot osrednja točka največjega svetovnega korupcijskega škandala. Brazilija je prostor, kjer se korupcija poleg tega, da je prisotna v vseh porah družbe, že desetletja izmenjuje tudi na samem političnem vrhu. Začetek tako imenovane koruptivne dediščine pa sega v 20-letno obdobje vojaške oblasti, ki je nasledilo državni udar leta 1964 in tako velja za zlato lestev brazilske korupcije. Krajši pogled v razvoj politične korupcije v Braziliji glede na zadnje dogodke pa nam poda David Fleischer, v Braziliji rojeni Američan, ki med drugim deluje kot profesor na univerzah v Washingtonu, New Yorku in Braziliji.
What we've been witnessing and what we've been seeing is a cartel of construction companies bribing the government to get contracts on rotation. And according to their own plea bargaining testimony, this began in the military period, during the military regime. And it continued after the democratization in 1985. And then we had a cartel in 1993 that was acting within the Joint Budget Committee in the Congress to make sure that their contracts were put into the budget by the Joint Budget Committee, and there was bribery going on to bribe the members of the committee to put their contract appropriations into the budget. So then in, let's say, the early 2000s, this cartel began operating with Petrobras, our large petroleum state enterprise. And it was discovered the court began to investigate it in 2014, but began investigating and didn't really come to any strong conclusions before the 2014 elections in October. The first arrests occurred in November and December of 2014. So had the court uncovered this this bribery scheme, we call it the Petro loan, the big petroleum bribery scheme, earlier, it would have affected the 2014 presidential elections, and President Dilma Rousseff probably would not have been reelected. So the main, let's say, discoveries of the corruption have been more in 2015 and 16.
Kot omeni Fleischer, intenzivnejši boj proti korupciji v brazilskem političnem vrhu začne delovati šele v letih 2015 in 2016. Ta pa je vezana operacijo Avtopralnica, ki se začne s koncem leta 2013. Ena najodmevnejših protikorupcijskih operacij je podrobnogled zajela podkupnine vezane na državno naftno podjetje Petrobras in tako v dobrih treh letih delovanja uspela prepoznati največjo korupcijsko afero v zgodovini. Višina izdanih podkupnin v aferi se trenutno ocenjuje na znesek nekje med 6 in 8 milijardami dolarjev. Glede na visoko raven korupcije v Braziliji, ki se nemoteno vleče že vsaj pol stoletja, se pojavlja vprašanje o možnem političnem interesu, ki poganja tako nenadno in uspešno protikorupcijsko operacijo. Več o razvoju operacije Avtopralnica in morebitnem političnem interesu v ozadju pove Brian Winter, novinar, pisatelj in urednik revije America's Quarterly.
The Operation Car Wash, which is the name for the investigation of corruption at Petrobras, started 3 years ago in a medium-sized Brazilian city called Curitiba with a group of prosecutors who detected a money laundering ring at a gas station outside of Brasilia, which is why the operation is named Car Wash, because there was a car wash there. And they basically, through the use of plea bargains and very skillful investigation, have been able to connect that car wash to a massive scheme that is actually, it is the biggest corruption scheme ever uncovered anywhere in the world to date, worth several billion dollars. And it has touched and potentially incriminated officials from across the political spectrum, including the party that was in charge, Dilma Rousseff and Lula's party, but also the opposition party and the party of current president Michel Temer. So while there is some discussion that there are political interests behind the car wash probe, that's not something I believe in at all, based on the fact that so many people from such a variety of parties and ideological backgrounds have been incriminated, and then also based on, you know, my knowledge and also the public's knowledge of the quality of people that are conducting this investigation. The Brazilian judiciary is quite independent, and that's true of this unit of prosecutors and the judge who's overseeing this case in Curitiba.
Ljudje, ki poganjajo operacijo Avtopralnica, so večinoma srednje izkušeni sodniki v svojih 30 ali 40 letih starosti. Najodmevnejše ime v ozadju operacije pa je zagotovo Sergio Moro, 44-letni sodnik, ki trenutno poveljuje protikorupcijski operaciji. Ob izjemnih uspehih je Moro, sodeč po zadnjih anketah, edina javna osebnost v Braziliji, ki v zadnjih letih konstantno uživa javno podporo, ki je višja od 50%. Januarja letos je operacijo zaznamoval tragičen dogodek. Teori Zavaski, sodnik, ki naj bi vodil sodni proces proti številnim osumljenim osebam v sklopu operacije, je namreč umrl v letalski nesreči. Zavaski se je s privatnim letalom vračal z dopusta na sodišče, kjer naj bi na podlagi pričanj 77 zaposlenih v gradbenem podjetju Odebrecht začel sodni postopek proti številnim najvplivnejšim osebam v Braziliji. Na poti pa je letalo iz nepojasnenih razlogov strmoglavilo v Atlantski ocean. Več o nesreči in njenih posledicah za operacijo doda Winter.
Teori Zavaski was a judge on the Supreme Court who died in a plane accident in January. And the timing was, I agree, the timing was suspicious because he was about to make a ruling that would have affected the ability of dozens of Brazilian congressmen to be elected. Although the timing was indeed suspicious, there is absolutely no evidence to date that has been made public that suggests that this was anything but an accidental death. And, you know, there was a delay in the corruption investigation as a result, but it has continued, and, you know, there's been no obstruction since then of investigations or anything that would have happened differently. I think it had this justice lived, I just think it resulted in a relatively minor delay.
V sklopu operacije so v dobrih 3 letih delovanja uspešno osumili že okrog 200 oseb. Med osumljenci so se tako znašli najvplivnejši brazilski mogoci, tajkuni, senatorji, guvernerji in župani. Na zatožno klop je med drugim sedel tudi naftni mogotec Ajke Bačista, leta 2012 poznan kot 7. najbogatejši človek na svetu. Več o rezultatih protikorupcijske operacije Avtopralnica doda Fleischer.
So it's been a massive corruption scheme with Petrobras. Depending on who you talk to, it may be somewhere between $6, $7, $8 billion. The district court in New York has assessed Petrobras a fine of $2.6 billion, which is the largest anti-corruption fine that this New York court has ever assessed. The largest before, I think, was around $2 billion for Siemens, the German company. It has... With the plea bargain, it now involves over 100 politicians, one-third of the current president's cabinet, one-third of the Senate, and maybe, I don't know, maybe about 80 or some deputies, federal deputies, 12 governors and several mayors and other people. So probably the total is over 200.
Vendar pazimo, da nas obsežni nabor obtožencev, s katerimi se lahko pohvali operacija Avtopralnica, ne očara prehitro. Poleg številnih vrhovnih političnih akterjev, ki se jim z eno nogo na obali še vedno obeta možnost, da se uspešno izogne obtožbam korupcije, se tu skriva še jedrni problem. Ena največjih ovir brazilskega protikorupcijskega boja se skriva v starem zakonu, katerega korenine segajo v kolonialno dobo 19. stoletja. Sodeč po omenjenem zakonu lahko osebam z političnega vrha sodi le vrhovno sodišče. Ob neskončnih vrstah na vrhovnem sodišču pa si lahko osumljeni politiki obetajo vsaj nekaj dodatnih let svobode, če ne celo zastaranje primera. Možnost spremembe zastarelega zakona se obeta maja, o čemer več doda Fleischer.
All these people who hold offices, senators, deputies, and ministers, by our norms, our legal norms, have to be tried only by the Supreme Court. But this is very difficult because the Supreme Court is not a penal court. So on the 31st of May now, next month, the Supreme Court is going to decide on this question, which is called foro privilegiado. It means that these people... These officials have the privilege of only being tried by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is going to revise this and reduce this privilege substantially, we hope. If that's the case, they will be tried more quickly by the first-level federal court. So that will help us clean this up considerably.
Nedavno smo lahko opazili obsežne stavke policistov v nekaterih brazilskih zveznih državah, ki so se zvrstile predvsem zaradi slabih delovnih pogojev in plač. Najopaznejša je bila stavka v zvezni državi Espiritu Santo, kjer naj bi po nekaterih ocenah odsotnost policije v samo enem tednu terjala kar 100 dodatnih žrtev strelskih spopadov. Več o tem, kakšni so delovni pogoji v brazilskem sodstvu, pa doda Winter.
You know, the federal police in Brazil, for example, complain about not having enough resources, and in some cases they say they don't have enough fuel for their cars. Generally, if you look across the spectrum, if you look at the big numbers, Brazil's judicial system is actually very well funded, especially compared to other countries in Latin America. The problem is that a lot of that money goes towards salaries, goes towards judges and their perks specifically, and so it's not money that is effectively spent in a lot of cases, and it's not dedicated towards enforcement. So if, you know, the success of this case in Curitiba, in the city of Curitiba, that led to these convictions and other charges with the car wash probe, if that success is to be replicated in other cities and in other cases, because certainly there's countless corruption scandals waiting out there to be discovered, then funding for the judicial sector will need to grow. If it happens, it needs to be done the right way. It needs to be towards detection, towards the tax authorities, who oftentimes are the front lines in detecting irregularities. If Brazil can figure out a way to direct more money towards that, then I think you'll see dividends as well as support from society, which in every poll says that they want a more efficient, better funded judicial system.
Eden odločilnih razlogov za uspešnost protikorupcijske operacije Avtopralnica pa se skriva tudi v mednarodnem sodelovanju z brazilskim sodstvom, dodaja Fleischer.
Been a lot of cooperation from Switzerland, where the Swiss prosecutors have opened up all of these secret bank accounts, which were operated by the corruptors and the corrupt, and have sent a lot of the bank account data from Switzerland to the public prosecutors here in Brazil to use. And that's a big game change, because before, secret bank accounts in Switzerland were totally secret. But now the Swiss government has changed that and will open up any bank accounts suspected of being used by corrupt people. The courts and the investigators in the U.S. have also been very, very harsh on prosecuting, opening bank accounts and prosecuting people. As you know, with what we call the FIFA, the Football Federation there in Zurich, the New York courts ordered, I don't know what, 10 or 12 of those people arrested for corruption, because they were using New York bank U.S. bank accounts for their corrupt operations. And so a lot of the Brazilians now have learned that you don't deposit your corrupt funds in any bank account in the U.S. because that's too dangerous. But they thought that Switzerland was safe, but it's no longer safe. So the New York court, when it divided up the fine to be paid by Odebrecht, the largest construction company in Brazil, part of the fine is going to Switzerland and part of the fine is staying in the U.S., but the larger part is coming back to Brazil.
Trenutno se vprašanje o bodočem obsegu operacije vrtijo predvsem okrog možnih obtožb bivšega predsednika Luiza Inácia Lula da Silva, bolje poznanega kot Lula, njegove naslednice Dilme Rousseff in trenutnega predsednika Michela Temera. Operacija Avtopralnica bo tako med drugim najverjetneje odigrala pomembno vlogo pri razpletu naslednjih predsedniških volitev, ki so predvidene za leto 2018. Potencialni kandidat na naslednjih volitvah pa je tudi bivši predsednik Lula. Ta je Braziliji predsednikoval med letoma 2003 in 2011 in v tem času z javno podporo, ki je konstantno presegala 80%, uspel Brazilijo voditi po poti najvišje gospodarske rasti v brazilski zgodovini. Več o njegovi vpletenosti v korupcijsko afero in vplivu te afere na njegovo morebitno kandidaturo na volitvah v naslednjem letu doda Winter.
Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who was president of Brazil during the 2000s when the economy was really going well, the core pieces of this corruption scandal date from the era when he was president. And the question becomes, how much did Lula know about how much was being stolen, and did he benefit, and to what extent did he benefit from the corruption personally? And, you know, Lula has not been convicted of anything yet. And he says that he is innocent, while he acknowledges that obviously at this point everyone knows that there was corruption in his party and at places like Petrobras under his watch. What's interesting now is that there is a strong possibility that Lula will run for president again in 2018. And if he does, according to polls, he has a strong chance of at least making it to a runoff election and possibly becoming president again. The main thing that stands in his way, apart from, of course, other candidates who could beat him, is this legal threat associated with the Petrobras case. If he is convicted of a crime, and if that ruling is then held up, is then, you know, supported by a second court, then under Brazilian law, Lula would not be eligible to be a candidate.
Na potek naslednjih volitev pa bo zagotovo vplivala tudi sprememba zakona iz leta 2015, ki ponovem preprečuje financiranje predsedniških kampanj strani korporacij. Več o nujnosti omenjene spremembe in težavah, s katerimi se srečuje brazilski volilni sistem, pove Fleischer.
We have parties that need funds. Money to finance their campaigns. We use the worst election system in the world, which is proportional representation with an open list. most countries, 95% of the countries that use proportional representation use a closed list. With the open list, the voters are induced to vote for individual candidates. It's called the nominal vote. And so this is extremely expensive. Campaigns for governor, senator, and president are also very, very expensive. And so the parties are always looking for contributions, especially contributions from the business sector, to finance their campaigns. Well, in 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that any contributions from a business was unconstitutional because businesses are not voters. And so that really was a game changer for the municipal elections last year. And the parties had great difficulty. The candidates had great difficulty securing enough funds to finance their campaigns. But it is mostly attributed to campaign finance, under the table, off the books, campaign finance. However, the other side is that it also involves money that goes directly into the politician's pockets and not really used by his or her party to finance campaigns. I say his or her because there are a few women involved, but not very many, mostly men, in the whole corruption scandal.
Zgodba pravkar omenjenega bivšega predsednika Lula pa je v številnih točkah neizogibno prepletena z bivšo predsednico Dilmo Rousseff. Prva ženska predsednica v Braziliji je državo vodila v času strmega padca v najglobjo krizo v zgodovini. Medtem ko je njen predhodnik Lula vodil nad vse dialoško politiko, je za Dilmo značilno samoglavo in je kleno vzdrževanje oblasti. Predsednica, ki se lahko pohvali s svojim bojevanjem v gverili v 70-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja, je ob vzponu na oblast svoj čas poveljevala tudi državnemu naftnemu podjetju Petrobras. Danes pa je ena od osrednjih osumljenk operacije Avtopralnica. Pri tem je treba poudariti, da se ob razpravi o brazilski korupcijski aferi zelo pogosto napačno razume razlog njene odstavitve z funkcije predsednice države v letu 2014. Njena odstavitev namreč ni temeljila na sumu vpletenosti v Petrobrasov korupcijski škandal, temveč na očitkih slabega vodenja in upravljanja državnih financ. Po besedah številnih analitikov pa sta bila odločilna razloga njena avtokratska oblika predsednikovanja in posledično zanemarjanje senata. Več o formalnih razlogih njene odstavitve pove Fleischer.
The main reason, the official reason for the impeachment proceedings was fiscal chicanery. She accumulated a huge budget overrun of having, let's say, maybe 120, 130 billion more expenditures and revenues. And so she was manipulating this deficit by devious means. And that was considered illegal to do that the way she did it. So that was the official reason why she was impeached.
Medtem ko je kar nekaj tesnih sodelavcev Dilme Rousseff že pristalo za rešetkami, ni bila bivša predsednica trenutno še ničesar obtožena. O morebitnem sodnem postopku, ki bi jo lahko doletel, Fleischer dodaja sledeče.
Not yet. But now with all of the plea bargaining testimony, which includes a lot of accusations, she is now accused of corruption and has been indicted, I think, three or four times. So she is also on trial at the National Election Court for campaign irregularities in 2014 of using illicit funds gathered from corruption in her campaign. So after she was impeached, she has now been indicted and is being tried and investigated by the courts. But no convictions so far.
V zadnjih tednih pa operacija Avtopralnica dviga prst tudi nad trenutnega predsednika Temera. A ne glede na svojo upletenost v korupcijski škandal, lahko ta vsaj do naslednjih volitev ostane pod varno zaščito predsedniške imunitete. Temer, ki je na oblast prišel po odstavitvi Dilme Rousseff, je krmilo države prevzel v nadvse težavnem času. Medtem ko večina brazilskega ljudstva ostaja obremenjena z razrešitvijo korupcijskega škandala, se Temer in njegova vlada ukvarjata predvsem z iskanjem rešitve za padajočo gospodarsko rast v državi. Ekonomska kriza, v kateri se Brazilija intenzivneje utaplja predvsem od leta 2013 dalje, je v primerjavi s hitro rastočo ekonomijo v prejšnjem desetletju močno šokirala brazilsko javnost. Gospodarstvo, ki slovi kot eno najbolj zaprtih v Južni Ameriki, je pod Temerjevo vlado na preizkušnji dodatnega odpiranja proti tujini. Aktualni korupcijski škandal pa ga na tej poti k večjemu ovira, tako glede domačih kot glede tujih investitorjev. Več o nalogah Temerjeve vlade in trenutni ravni njegove popularnosti v Braziliji dodaja Fleischer.
Well, initially he had fairly, well, let's say not very large, but fairly good support. But as we've been in an terrible economic recession since 2014, 2015 and 16 were very bad recession of negative GDP growth of around 4% each year. And so in 2016 and also now in early 2017, the economy has not improved that much, and so his approval rating has gone down because of that. Now in 2017, he's trying desperately to approve some reforms of the Social Security system, which is running a huge deficit, and also changing labor legislation to try to open up new opportunities for jobs. We've had a negative job creation since 2015. And so these measures, especially the Social Security reform, are not very popular, but are extremely necessary to get the country out of this very, very bad deficit situation. So his popularity is not very good.
Temerjeva vlada je med drugim sprejela tudi številne protikorupcijske ukrepe. V zadnjem decembru pa je širšo brazilsko javnost razburil poskus spremembe zakona, ki bi oteževal sodno obtožbo višjih državnih politikov in v določenih nazorih tudi omejeval pristojnosti sodnih organov. Poskus spremembe zakona je izzval burno reakcijo brazilskega ljudstva, ki se je v znak protesta v številu več 10 000 protestnikov podalo na ulice večjih brazilskih mest. Več o poskusu spremembe zakona pove Winter.
So at the end of 2016, a group of legislators and President Michel Temer's party submitted legislation that would, in practice, make it more difficult to prosecute members of Congress and other people with special protections, and could also curtail some power of Brazilian investigators. This went over very badly with the Brazilian public, which overwhelmingly supports the investigation of crimes at Petrobras. Which is interesting because, you know, this investigation has been very disruptive, and it has, without any doubt, it has made the recession worse. But a lot of Brazilians, most Brazilians, look at what's happening and they say, you know, even if we suffer in the short term, I'm willing to do so because it will result in a cleaner, more fair country in the future where billions of dollars go towards healthcare and education as opposed to lining the pockets of construction companies and corrupt politicians. And so as a result, there was a big public outcry when these measures were proposed. And, you know, as of now, there has been very little indication that legislation has sufficient support to get passed.
Kot v zadnji izjavi že nakaže Brian Winter, protikorupcijski boj, tako na splošno kot predvsem v kontekstu operacije Avtopralnica, dobiva vse večji pomen za brazilsko javnost. Glede na hiter vzpon povprečnega življenjskega standarda, ki mu je bilo prebivalstvo priča v zadnjih 20 letih, je postalo več kot očitno, da so se volilne karte temeljito spremenile. Namesto vprašanja lakote in brezposelnosti tako osrednjo atrakcijo, brazilskim voljivcem v obdobju zadnjih let predstavlja prav protikorupcijski boj. Za konec razloži Winter.
15 years ago, Brazil's economy looked a lot different than it does today. It was a country where unemployment was even higher than it is now, and where issues like malnutrition and hunger, which were a legacy of Brazil's colonial past and of its uneven development throughout the 20th century, were still major issues. And as a result, when Brazilian voters were asked what their main problems were, they tended to answer not only unemployment, but hunger and jobs. Now, thanks to the growth of the 2000s, which brought about 30 million Brazilians, or roughly 15% of the country, into the lower middle class, people have now stopped worrying as much about those quote-unquote hand-to-mouth issues, and they're worried more about things like healthcare and education. You know, they are paying taxes now. They want to see their money not used to pay for politicians' mansions, but they want to see proof that it's being used for hospitals and daycares and high schools. And so part of the support, the massive support that you see for this car wash probe in Brazil, is a product of that demographic change. It's a middle-class society with middle-class values, and that means that they want clean government.
Južno hemisfero je pripravil Žiga.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.